Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, my name! Hey, my name! We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We can't beat
me!
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Friday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, been a crazy, busy week. Put your feet up, relax, get ready for the Super Bowl. You'll hear it here on ESPN 1480 in Lincoln and many of our affiliates across the Hail Varsity Radio Network on West in Central Nebraska. So that is next. And then there's spring football to look forward to in just a few weeks. I didn't even pay attention because of signing day and Huskers in the Super Bowl week on Hail Varsity. What happened with the groundhog yesterday?
He saw a shadow.
Okay.
So six more weeks of winter.
Hmm. Gotcha.
But I believe I saw it's next Saturday is going to be 61. So I don't know about that.
I saw this weekend's going to be 50s in eastern Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a happy guy. This 20-degree crap today isn't cool, though. I'm getting old, and I don't mean to be get-off-my-lawn guy or
is that what happens when you
wine.
Get old? You just complain about the weather?
You know what? Come on now. It ain't an age thing uniquely.
I kind of enjoy all the seasons. Granted, I wish it was warmer, but,
I think you're crazy. You can't. You're young and vibrant and 26, okay? You get up some mornings and try to swear when you're hammer and chiseling your car off.
Yeah.
Okay?
I mean, that's no fun. I'll admit that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't have a garage. If I had a garage, that wouldn't be an issue.
I know you don't have a garage. So don't talk
apartment
to me.
Life.
So don't talk to me about, well, you know, is it just an age thing about temperature and whining. Okay, here's what we got. We're going to just dive head in. We'll get into the Super Bowl in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Let's line it up. Mike Babcock is fantastic. He is with us in 15 minutes. We'll talk some Nebraska football recruiting with him. Gabe Fertitta. He's the head coach, was the offensive coordinator at Catholic High School in Baton Rouge. Ben Miles, incredibly talented. Versatile player, a kid you'll love watching at Nebraska. Coach Fertitta, our conversation with him on signing day in 30 minutes. And then how about Huskers in the Super Bowl, closing it out with double deuce. Mr. Ralph Brown, 10-year NFL vet, Husker All-Century. Ralph went to the Super Bowl his rookie year with the Giants in 2000. We won't ask him how that went against Baltimore. He also went to the Super Bowl against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the signature play of Roethlisberger's career is the touchdown pass that went over Ralph's head, and he is a nose hair, my nose hair, away from deflecting it out. Burris made the catch, did the tap dance. It was incredible. Awesome Super Bowl. Ralph was there. Ralph was helping a teammate who blew coverage. But Ralph will talk Super Bowl, get his thoughts on New England, get his thoughts on Atlanta. And Ralph, being a 10-year defensive back, he may have an answer. He may not on how to stop Julio Jones. Belichick's drawing one up right now and then sniffing the marker. So Ralph Brown with us. Brandon Vogel next hour, chili or beer cheese soup, and then the Friday forecast. Numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776. 76 toll free 1-800-825-5865. So in my household last night, Junior came home happy that his Michigan State Spartans won on the road. TJ went home and wept. Your Huskers, TJ Henning, your Nebraska ball lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, 72-61, you fall. You don't get the runs a thing done. You have an 11-2 close to at least make this thing look better than it is. It's a lot of makeup and a lot of lipstick. As Nebraska, quite frankly, got pounded last night. It was 70-50. Okay. And Michigan State showed why people still have them in the NCAA tournament. They are good.
Mm-hmm.
They are good. They are young. And they said, you know what? And this is more Izzo. This is Izzo saying, I've had enough of this three-game win streak crap. And this is the freshman saying, you know, it is kind of do or die now. If we are going to be an NCAA tournament team, we've got to win games against Nebraska. People respect Nebraska, but Nebraska is still thought of as a team that you need to go beat. You hit 60, you shoot 63% in the second half. You go 11 of 17 from three-point land. Incredible. I did not like what I saw from Nebraska last night, decision-making-wise on offense. I did not like what I saw from Nebraska energy-wise last night, and I had a gut feeling. We were talking a lot yesterday. Does Nebraska continue this momentum? Do they ride the spark? They emptied the keg, is what they did against Seabass and Purdue. They did. What you saw Sunday is going to be the peak of their performance in 2016-17. That's the best they'll ever play, is my point. Because Purdue played well. They did. But Purdue played well enough to win that game. Nebraska played better. It's the best game you'll see all year from Nebraska, where you got bench points, where you got rebounding, and your two stars were good enough. They weren't great together, but they still combined for their token 30 points. Okay, and you won the rebounding battle. You weren't awful at the free throw line, and you got in some transition. It's the best you'll see Nebraska play. I could be wrong, but that's... Take that and put it under your arm and run to the goal line with it, because you have Nebraska now out of fuel. They are tapped. You've got Ty playing too many minutes. You've got Glenn doing his thing. You've got guys trying to come together and put great efforts together. This isn't an indictment on their effort. They just got whooped. Because they are not deep. There's no rescue in sight, depth-wise, health-wise, and they're in trouble. They could easily go win in Iowa because it is a roller coaster type year in the Big Ten. But that's a game, if you have any hopes of being for real versus a one-hit wonder or a few hits, you go get. It was more about Michigan State playing really good basketball, being better, and Nebraska just being not quite as good. And Michigan State, quite honestly, just came in and took it. Nebraska didn't shoot well. I don't like Nebraska's shot selection. There are a lot of jumpers. There are a lot of threes versus trying to get to the rim. They didn't finish at the rim from time to time. It's a broken record for me on that. But the more layups or more mid-range or more attempts to get to the rim, there were a ton of possessions where Nebraska would get a steal or they forced a turnover and they try and get tempo going. They wouldn't score it. Sparty get the loose ball and then either hit a three or score in transition. You call it those 14-point plays in football, those 10-point plays. You're supposed to have a touchdown. You turn it over. They get a field goal. Well, there's a lot of 4-point plays for Sparty where Nebraska doesn't get to, and Sparty either gets a three or a two. I didn't like what Nebraska had last night energy-wise. They are wearing down. They are wearing down big time. And then you have this domino effect with Ed being out. It affects the interior. Yep. And that interior affects the perimeter defense, where everyone's lining up to have a three-point competition against you and winning. And then it affects you on offense. Too much energy is being expent. There's not deep enough. They're in trouble.
You brought up loose balls. It didn't seem like Nebraska got any of the 50-50 balls last night. I think it felt like
all of them against Purdue.
Yeah, it felt like 90-10 last night. Michigan State was getting all of those. So luck was not on Nebraska's side at all last night. Jordy Shimanga played really well.
Jordy Shimanga, God love him, had very key turnovers at brutal times. Mm-hmm. You needed a bucket. You were still within distance where it's a 4-point or 2-point or even a 6-point game, and no hands.
He gave you 15-9 last night, and it looked like he was going to be the leading scorer until Ty hit some late free throws. And if you would have told me before the game Jordy Shimanga was going to be our leading scorer for tonight, I would have said, how much did we get blown out by? Not that Jordy can't be a good player down the road. I think he
Jordy
can be.
Jordy played well.
But you need Ty and Glenn to get going, and Glenn's kind of battling that groin injury right now, and it's showing a little bit. And then just the three-point shooting defense I mean, it just reared its ugly head last night. Lately, I've just been thinking it's luck, but now just watching last night, it's got to be something else than that. The past 2 years, it's been dreadful. And it's just, especially at home.
And Coach Miles said it last night after Dirk asked him.
Yeah. It's not just his game. It's been 2 years.
It's been that way because you don't have a giant dude down low to hold his own.
Mm-hmm. You don't have Pettaway or Pitchford with their length.
No.
Challenging
and
shots.
And you've shifted. Mm-hmm. You have more offensive-minded guys that aren't as long-armed. And it's easier to score over guys like Glenn than it was Pettaway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all, again, a domino trickle-down, whatever you want to call it. That's what you're in. And Jordy, he takes three steps forward and then a step back. That's how I feel about him because he balled down low.
He did.
He had offensive rebounds. He had putbacks. He had a missed dunk that made me cringe.
Yep.
But and to be honest, man, one of the most frustrating things about your Nebraska basketball is watching them pretend the basketball's been soaked in butter. And that's not grab it.
Okay.
There are putbacks that Jacobson has, but for the most part, there's six guys, it seems like, I know five are allowed on the court, that touch the thing before somebody secures a rebound or a loose ball.
Like I said, they weren't getting it at all last night.
They are fearful of the basketball underneath their own basket and grabbing it. I didn't bet on anybody. This isn't personal. I felt in my gut that if I would have had $100,000 of Monopoly money, I would have put it on Michigan State last night just because I just didn't feel like Nebraska would have a good vibe going in. It's not for lack of effort. It's not for lack of practice. It's not for lack of want-to. They are what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just a worn-down basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
With this rotation, with this injury setup, and with the here is your recipe to beat an NCAA tournament team if you're Nebraska. And again, this happened against Purdue. They're the example. This happened against Maryland. Okay, this happened against Iowa. You need Jordy to either not have to play or have minutes without fouling or turnovers. And that happens by him not playing or it's just quick spurts. You get him in, you get him out. Okay, two, Ty and Glenn got to combine for their 30.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be assist. The efficiency needs to be really good. That's the other part of this. When they've won, man, they've gotten to the rim.
Mm-hmm.
And Michigan State lets people get to the rim, and Nebraska didn't get to the rim enough. And at that point, you're settling for a jump shot or a three because I've had 4,000 minutes the last week I've played, so screw driving to the rim. Let's just pull up for the jump.
Yeah, and when they do win, they're also shooting well from three, and not last night, 25%. And they're just not a good three-point shooting team.
And it's
just
a drive, creation, kick, rhythm, shot.
And the problem, too, last night, you have a lineup where it's just offensively weak. You have Jacobson, Evan Taylor, Glenn Watson, Isaiah Roby, and Nick Fuller.
Taylor can get to the rim. He didn't have a good night last night.
He can get to the rim, but he doesn't have an outside shot.
We haven't seen it. It's not one you want to see a lot.
I mean, he can occasionally hit that pull-up jumper, but, I mean, that's 3.5 out of the five guys that's just out there offensively who just aren't capable of creating their own shot.
Well, and with Taylor, I mean, I remember him some pretty good jumpers, specifically Iowa. He had a good game against Northwestern.
Yeah.
The jump game.
But then it's kind of cooled off.
You got to have 30-plus from Ty and Glenn. You got to win the offensive rebound glass. They did last night. You got to win the glass overall or be able to stalemate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then your bench. Are you going to get 20-some points from your bench and 10 rebounds from your bench? 20 and 10 from your bench. 31-90 got outscored. That was a difference. And every dude who came off the bench for Michigan State was perfect or 80% from three-point land.
Yeah, and you got 37 alone last game from your bench just between McVay and Horn. And now you get 9 this game from four guys.
And you got good bench points against Iowa. You got good bench points against Indiana. You got good bench points against Maryland.
Mm-hmm. There's the recipe.
Paging Mr.
Roller coaster.
No, but you have options. Different guys have combined this season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, before it was Roby and Taylor, or then it was Horn. And then it was Horn and McVay.
But these freshmen just have the disappearing act going on right now. Just sometimes there, sometimes not. And Roby is in quite the funk right now.
Yeah, and there needs to be a talking to, as in get over it. You're good. You're talented.
Yeah, don't think so too much.
Yeah, just go do it. So I kind of saw last night coming. And we'll see how Nebraska responds to Iowa. Stay tuned for the Friday forecast and our prediction on that. If you're over Nebraska basketball, and that means wake me up when they win again, because I feel that's how a lot of you are. Ty Lue was there last night. That was pretty cool.
How was
halftime?
Halftime, it was
Junior
great.
Got an autograph from Ty Lue last night.
As well, wow. It was almost too short. They actually added some time on to
Lue,
the players.
Lue should have asked the kid in all green to kindly go back to his seat, but Ty signed it. That was nice of him.
I felt like maybe he felt a little pressed because there wasn't much time to talk, but the video was great by Husker Vision. I mean, you had LeBron James, Stu Lance, Danny Nee, Doc Rivers, all
How'd
applauding.
Danny look?
Old. I'm not
really?
Going to lie.
Danny's, what is he, 75 now?
He looked older.
Really?
Yeah.
So white or did you saw the dark hair?
I mean, he just looked pure white, like a ghost.
Really?
Yeah.
We got to call Danny. Miss Danny. So the video was sweet.
The video was great. LeBron James, Doc Rivers had great things to say. So well done by Husker Vision last night.
Awesome stuff. All right. We will talk some Nebraska football, some recruiting, some signing day, all that good stuff. And we are excited to have you along on a Friday with Hail Varsity. Reminding you, if you're out driving around after drinking, that's no bueno. It's not okay to drink and drive. You could hurt yourself, lose your life, take another life, go to jail. Don't drink and drive. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Got a text message from the Pride of Fairbury, Bill Pullman. He's like, I know I've been suspended again, but he's doing gymnastics tonight. Women's gymnastics, Nebraska, Oklahoma. It's 7 o'clock on Fox Sports. And I didn't want to bother Bill because he's a recruiting fan. During the week of signing day, he would take a flamethrower.
Oh, yeah.
No, Bill's awesome. We'll catch up with Billy D next week. We welcome in historian, author, Hall of Famer, and 39 years of Nebraska coverage, Mike Babcock at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. And you know what? Bill needs the thing. He needs not to waffle so much. He needs to have opinions.
No kidding, right? You know? I think the only waffling Bill does is trying to decide blueberry or maple Sunday morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Mike.
Exactly.
Hey, Mike. Husker basketball lost last night, but it was also Ty Lue night last night. Now, I know you're a Golden State fan, so obviously Game 7 last year isn't probably your most favorite Ty Lue memory, but I'm just curious if you have a favorite Ty Lue memory maybe from when he was playing here.
Well, you know, this I had to ask Lee Barfnick about this after the sort of media met with Lue, you know, before the game, and I didn't ask him during the interview because I wasn't sure if I remembered it correctly. But the first time that Danny Mee let us talk to him as reporters when he was a freshman, he came in weighted down with gold chains. And Danny said something about, hey, you think you got enough gold chains there or whatever? And so your first impression was, you know, maybe this guy is kind of a hot dog, you know, kind of a hot shot. But from the beginning, he wasn't. He was a really gracious guy, a good guy to deal with. And from the time I remember first dealing with him, he was just a class guy. Right from the start. Tremendous athlete, obviously, as reflected by everything that he's accomplished. But that's my favorite memory of him. The first time we saw him was he came in with all the gold chains.
All that bling.
But just a talented guy.
I can hear Danny saying that right now. Can't you? I mean, hey, Ty, you got enough gold on? I mean, something like that?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, gosh, I'm biased here, I'll admit, but I was a big Danny Mee fan.
Same here.
Always. And, you know, he took four teams in a row to the NCAA tournament the teams didn't win a game in the NCAA tournament, but they got there. They were in the position to be successful, and people, you know, started complaining, well, they can't ever win in the NCAA tournament. So they got rid of them, and they solved that problem by never getting to the NCAA tournament. So, you know, that's one way to deal with it, I guess, is you're upset about not winning a game in the NCAA tournament. Well, just don't get there.
Yeah,
that'll take care of it. I think that people were a little harsh on Danny, in part because of the Brooklyn thing, and I think people just didn't feel like he fit, you know, whatever the idea was about what the culture is here. But I'm coming full circle here. He could recruit. He recruited some pretty good guys, including Lou and Cookie Belcher, Vincent Hamilton. I mean, Pike, Bruce Chovic. I mean,
Strickland, Woolridge.
Woolridge came here for a year, he was just here for a year, right?
Yeah.
Strickland, Boone. I mean, there was
Badgett
came through here. Carl Hayes, Terrence Badgett,
Clifford Scales.
Westchester St. Joseph guy.
Tony Farmer. I love me some Tony Farmer and Bo Reed.
Transferred in here from San Jose State, I think it was.
Yeah.
Nebraska had some talented players here, and that's what it took to be competitive. And I don't know. I know there was a player walkout towards the end there, and I think Ty was one of the guys that didn't bail on the coach. So, it was a that period was as good as it gets with Nebraska, and it was a nice tribute, as you guys were talking earlier. It was a nice tribute to Lou with the video with LeBron James and Doc Rivers and Danny, who's now coaching, I believe, in high school in Pittsburgh. And Stuart Lance, I mean, another guy that his number's up there, and I saw Stuart Lance play for a 6'2" guard that led the team in rebounding for three consecutive years. Tremendous athlete. It was pretty cool to see him. I know he's been a Los Angeles Lakers broadcaster for years, but that was a pretty cool night that didn't end very well for the Huskers, but all things considered, you know, the experience. Just seeing Lou's number retired, I think it was worth the trip.
Mike Babcock with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine at MD Babs on Twitter. We're talking Ty Lue, his moment last night. Babbers, want to switch gears to 2017 signing day on Wednesday. I loved your story on HailVarsity.com regarding some of signing days from years past with the excitement, the buildup, be it Mickey Joseph's decision or the time Coach Osborne was in a living room and it was between Texas and Nebraska and Fred Akers got the linebacker from Missouri and Tom wasn't down with that, which I don't blame him. But I wanted to get your thoughts on 17 here. A couple of kids that you're excited about, and I know you're very measured and tempered with hype and too much pressure on the kids, but there's some really good athletes in the 17 class, isn't there?
Yeah, there are. And I, you know, you're right. I was a little, well, not cynical is not the word, I guess, sarcastic. I don't know. I mean, for some of these guys, they were probably as good as they're ever going to be on Wednesday when they signed. You know, recruiting is one of those things where these guys are as good as you want them to be. At the point that they sign a letter of intent and they get here, and then, you know, we'll find out after they have an opportunity. But, you know, a couple things. One, I think that is really a positive is that five of these kids are already here and are going to go through spring practice. You know, that's huge. I think get that opportunity to get acclimated and get in the mix right away. That's one thing that impressed me. Another thing that I like, and I know Mike Riley was asked and addressed the issue, four guys from California, I think that's important. They got three guys from Texas, I think that's important. Mike Riley talked about the radius being effective there. But Nebraska has to be able to get some of those guys in those areas, and it's really good to see the quality of athlete that they were able to get out of California. And you got a couple guys from Florida as well. And yet you got four guys from in-state. So I think the geography of the class is the thing that I most appreciated here, that you got some in-state guys. You need to handle the in-state thing. But you also were able to get into some areas where Nebraska has had some success, and I think needs to continue to have some success. California, Texas, Florida. Nebraska has to be a coast-to-coast type recruiting thing.
Babbers, what's coming up with the recruiting issue? That's out next week.
Well, we got a nice, we've got profiles on Jebbia and Johnson, who are roommates, and we know all about them. And that was a big get for them. We got a profile on McQuitty, who's one of the guys that's here. Question and Q&A with Hymas. Another profile on Jalen Bradley. Good coverage across the board. Kind of get to know these guys a little bit. Coming in and a lot of energy gone into it with Jacob Dilla and Aaron Sorensen and Jake Jensen. They did a great job on signing day, I thought, keeping track of all this stuff.
It's good stuff, and I can't wait for it. Next week, the Hail Varsity recruiting issue is out at your newsstand. You can log on hailvarsity.com/subscribe and get the issue, get a subscription going. Mike, real quick, a thought on the Super Bowl. Are you doing beer, cheese, or chili?
I'll probably go pretty light on everything. I think it'll be a good matchup. I'm looking for points. I think points are going to be scored in this game. And you got two really talented quarterbacks, and I never underestimate, well, I'm not a Patriots fan, I never underestimate Bill Belichick. He's got a great plan, and he makes guys successful that on other teams you probably wouldn't even know their name.
That's kind of where I'm at. I would, and I'll have my prediction later, but I would like to see them do a seventh just because of how they've done it. The blueprint, the quarterback, and then, Belichick is kind of a grumpy old dude, but he's good. He's so good.
And then, here's the thing. Offensive line.
Yes.
Watch how much time Brady has. That's the thing. That offensive line gets the job done. That's where it starts.
No, they've been great. They've been more physical. We'll see if they keep it up. Ralph Brown will be on in 20 minutes to talk Super Bowl experience. Mike, have a good weekend. I'll be over for some wings, okay?
Hey, that sounds good. Have a great weekend, guys.
Take care. Mike Babcock with us. Hail Varsity Magazine, hailvarsity.com, at MD Babs on Twitter. So coming up, we will run down Ben Miles, offensive coordinator / head coach now in Baton Rouge at Catholic High School. Gabe Fertitto will join us. We'll have that conversation shortly. Ralph Brown, Super Bowl participant twice in his 10-year NFL career, all-century Husker. And he'll answer the question accurately on how you stop Julio Jones, assuming there is an answer out there. Brady, Atlanta, we'll see what goes down with that. We'll get Ralph's thoughts, too. Ralph's going to spend a few minutes. He's checking film out, obviously, on Nebraska's prime get at corner and only get at corner, Elijah Blades, California kid that Ralph has seen a lot of. So Ralph will do a bit of a breakdown for you on Elijah Blades that in hour two to get us started. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, thanks to Mike Babcock as we are off and running on a Friday. Hail Varsity Radio continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Gabe Fertitta is with us. Coach Fertitta, thanks for your time today. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Appreciate y'all having me on.
Well, it's awesome to talk with you, and Nebraska fans love them some fullbacks, and they can recite fullbacks, and Nebraska getting a good one in Ben Miles to come to Lincoln. And I want to start there, Coach, with what Ben did in your offense – and just how versatile he can be, or what was for you. Tell me a little bit from a ball player standpoint. What's Nebraska getting in Ben Miles?
Man, what's really unique about him is the kid could have played any position on our offense. If we'd have needed him to play guard, he would have made a great guard. If we needed him to play, that's really the only position he didn't play. He took snaps as a quarterback and a wildcat. He played fullback. He played tight end. He played receiver. He played running back. He did everything, and he wasn't a jack of all trades at it. I mean, he was a king of all trades at it. You know, I mean, he was really, really good at a lot of different things.
So as a guy who was calling the plays, how did you decide when and where to use him, just based on matchup, or was that even an issue from game plan to game plan? You just kind of looked at what a defense allowed and you stuck him in there to go exploit?
Yeah, you know, those guys give you a unique skill set. Mm-hmm. And in an offense, and I believe you guys had a guy, and I don't follow Nebraska football near as much, but, you know, Ben's always told me that Nebraska recently had a guy that they used, you know, all over the place, similar to that. And it just gives you a versatility with that player that the defense can't prepare for, because when he's in the game, you don't really exactly know where he's going, so they don't really know what personnel you have in, because that guy could end up anywhere, you know.
A few minutes with Gabe Fertitta, head coach, Catholic High School in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and his standout, Ben Miles, with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, I think the guy you're talking about is Andy Janovich. He's with the Broncos and 240 pounds of pure muscle with lead blocker, could catch it a bit, could break a run, and was just thunderous. And he was a Nebraska kid. Ben, you mentioned all the things he did well at such a high level to help lead to a state championship his junior season. When you look at niche or kind of where they can peg him in the Big Ten, what do you foresee with Ben? What do you think he can do? I don't know if he'll play as a freshman, but maybe even as a redshirt freshman. What's his niche going to be at Nebraska, in your opinion?
I mean, I think he can fit that same kind of niche. You know, he'll be able to be a lead blocker. That's kind of his, you know, if you asked him what he'd want to do all the time, you know, for him, it would be to run the ISO play and take it right at him, and he could lead block. And if you'd let him do that every snap in a game, he'd be as happy as can be. But he's got those skills to do other things. He catches the ball really well out of the backfield. He's dynamic with the ball in his hands. He's not just a guy where you just spot it wherever he catches it. He can break tackles. He can make people miss. I just think sky's kind of the limit for him when he gets there, just as, you know, wherever they need him, he's kind of that guy that can fit into a lot of different spots. You know?
How difficult was this for him, not necessarily to pick Nebraska, but just, I mean, you had LSU with dad there, of course, and then Nebraska. How was he this year with that kind of hovering around?
He was great. I think Ben wanted to kind of branch out and do his own thing.
Gotcha.
You know, and I think his dad too was really supportive of that. You know, while his dad was a head coach at LSU, his dad would joke with me sometimes. You know, and they signed one of my former quarterbacks from Stanislaus, and I was there when they offered him, and the kid accepted, and Coach Miles looked at me and said, "Hey, now we got a young fullback over there at Catholic that we need to get in the boat, coach," you know? And I'm like, "Look, man, you talk to him every day. I can't help you there," you know?
Yeah.
So it was good.
I bet. Well, Nebraska able to get Ben Miles in the 2017 class out of Catholic High School. Head coach Gabe Fertitta with us, Hail Varsity Radio, and Boston College in the running, of course, Michigan State in the running. And, Nebraska getting a very talented guy. Tell me about his leadership. What type of response does Ben get from his peers?
immediate.
Is that through just respect, eye contact, force, I mean, or all of the above?
It's kind of all of the above. When you see the way he works, it's hard to not be inspired. Even as his coach, he kind of leads us, you know, a little bit just through his work ethic. And you know, if you're not holding up your end of the bargain, he'll let you know. You know, like, he doesn't cut anybody any slack, and including himself. And so, yeah, he's a tremendous kid, tremendous leader. You know, is what you'd expect from a coach's kid. You know, that's what you're getting.
Tell me about the Nebraska brand, Coach, down in Louisiana. It's been almost 30, 32 years since Nebraska's been down there in a Sugar Bowl. I mean, they played LSU in, I think, 2 out of 3 years, 84 Sugar Bowl, 85 Sugar Bowl, or you had a run there, 84, 86 sort of situation where Nebraska was down there in the Superdome taking on LSU. They won, and Nebraska ended up getting a lot of talent from Louisiana, Neil Smith included. I don't know if Nebraska's brand is as hot now as it was then, but is it coming back down there?
You know, we don't, just from a sheer visibility, we don't really get to see Nebraska, you know, on TV all that much. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, in being in Baton Rouge, you know, it's pretty LSU heavy down here, but you still have a handful of people who can remember, you know, Lawrence Phillips and the Tommy Fraziers and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, there's still that allure. And then you also, Louisiana is a pretty big wrestling state. And so, you know, Nebraska's got a pretty good reputation from that aspect too. And so there's some similarities there.
You mentioned wrestling, and I know Ben wrestles. How does that help on the football field, in your opinion? How does that enhance what you can do on the gridiron?
I mean, it's toughness, you know, and it's desire. And as far as sports go, I mean, and I was a wrestler in high school. I mean, it's the toughest sport there is when it comes to just self-discipline and those kind of things. And, you know, Ben did that all through high school. And then going into his senior year, he decided to just focus on football so that he could, mm-hmm. you know, gain weight and that kind of thing. And that was another time where, you know, jokingly, his dad, you know, kind of, you know, what we got to do to get this boy to wrestle this year, you know, because his dad, high school wrestler, you know,
sure.
And that kind of thing. But I think it was a good decision for Ben because he put on a lot of weight. He gained a lot of weight in the weight room and those kind of things. So, you know, it was one that he didn't take lightly either because he doesn't really take too kindly to starting something and then not finishing it, you know.
Gabe Fertitta with us, Hail Varsity Radio. And Gabe, we'll catch up again. Thanks for what you're doing as a teacher and as a coach, and appreciate a few minutes with you.
Yeah, no problem.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Jay Bird back next week. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. Hope you're doing all right on a Friday. 10 minutes away, Ralph Brown will join us. 2-time Super Bowl participant, 10-year NFL vet, Brandon Vogel, Klausburn in the forecast for your Super Bowl weekend. In less than an hour, 466-377-6800-825-5865. The old Three Bears story, the bed, was it too hard, too soft, or just right? Hate, love, respect for New England. Where are you on that meter? And I have gone from...
Are you putting your Dolphins hat on here?
No, listen, man, after Snowflake got kidnapped, Dan had to ask Ace for a gun, too. It's digging into my hip for gum. All right? And Finkel was Einhorn, and Einhorn was Finkel.
Yeah.
I don't care about my Dolphins anymore.
Wow, okay.
The last time they were good, Ace Ventura was in my VCR. It was 1994.
Well, good. I mean, they're good. They went 11-5 1 year with Chad Pennington. That was good.
That was awful. I can throw the ball farther than Chad Pennington.
I know you can.
Okay?
Still, they won the division that year.
Don't
the only time.
Care. You know what? New England went 10-6 with Matt Castle at quarterback, and they didn't get in.
Mm-hmm.
I just respect, as crazy as the NFL is, and where everyone's supposed to go 8-8 or 7-9, and they are this good this long.
Yeah, that's impressive.
What Hall of Famers are going to wear a New England hat? Let's be honest. Gronk, probably. Brady, yes. Kraft, yes. Belichick, yes. Randy Moss, yes. Who else? I mean, does Brewski get in, or did he get in? I don't remember.
I'm not sure.
Right.
Wolfork? Did you mention him?
No. Vince can get in. But really, it's a bunch of Colorado and Ohio State linebackers, Beekert and Vrabel.
Yeah.
I mean, Ty Law and Harrison. They were good, but they weren't. They were never loaded. They weren't bought. Okay, And I'll give Atlanta this nod: they were drafted and constructed beautifully. I mean, the architecture of the Atlanta Falcons is phenomenal. When I think of Atlanta, though, man, I think of the Dirty Bird against your Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
I think of Deion Sanders during my childhood, and Andre Rison and Chris Miller. Falling asleep on the sideline because he got knocked out for a 4,000th time concussion-wise. I think of Jerry Glanville. I don't take Atlanta seriously.
I think of amazing Mike Vick highlights.
Yeah, that was good.
And Gary Anderson kicks.
Yeah. Vick was awesome.
He was.
That was fun. He was good for about 2 years to watch. Highlight reel class.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Warwick Dunn a lot. Respect the heck out of that
yeah.
guy. Okay, and that's where he ended his career.
Mm-hmm.
So, can New England stop Atlanta's running backs out of the backfield? That's my question. You're going to get points. You're going to get yards between the 20s, and you're going to get a run-stopping linebacker on a running back out of the backfield. How does that happen? How many yards do you get after contact if you're Atlanta against New England? New England allows like 4 yards. That's it. That's the best in the league. Ralph Brown will talk Super Bowl 51 next.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, Van Dyke!
Hey, Van Dyke!
We get better,
better!
We
get better,
better! We get big,
big!
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmitz and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Into Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmitz, TJ Henning, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore back next week. How about a trip to the Super Bowl? I'm not asking you to go with me. I can't go. Someone who's been twice kindly joins us now to talk Husker recruiting, Cali recruiting, Super Bowl experience, and to give you a corner's perspective on Matty Ice and Tom Brady, since he's played against both of them. Ralph Brown with us on Hail Varsity Radio, at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter. Mr. Ralph, how are you, man?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Man, it's good to talk with you, and we won't get it quite into the Super Bowl thoughts yet. I wanted to. You're a big Nebraska guy. You're a guy who came out to Lincoln from L.A. and you're a prized recruit. I want to start there. Your overall reaction to 2017's class. I know you still follow it.
I really like the class. I like the picks that they have with some of the cornerbacks, the quarterback with Tristan Jebbia, Keyshawn, and McQuitty and Elijah Blades. At the DB spot, I think they have some good talent. I think that growth of talent and guys that potentially can be first-team Big Ten guys and possibly go on and play in the NFL, I think this class does have that. And we'll see what happens. A lot of the guys in this class are excited. It's awesome that the whole Calabrasca movement was going on out here, and Jebbia and Keyshawn were hyping everybody up, being like a big proponent of Nebraska trying to get guys to come to the university, and that's just been great.
No, it was well done by Keyshawn Jr. and Jebbia, and then the number of California kids, three total for Nebraska. Let's talk Elijah Blades, kind of a 12th hour call, at least publicly, privately. When he visited Nebraska, he wanted to come to Nebraska, and he decommitted from Florida leading up to signing day. He is tall. He is fast. He's out of your neighborhood in the West Coast. Tell me a little bit about Blades. What do you see on film? What do you like?
I just like his length. He's a natural athlete, but he's very raw. At 6'2", 170, he can lock down any of the opponent's wide receivers. He's very fluid and get in and out of his breaks. And I think Nebraska, having somebody who's tall at that size, will be able to play any position, corner, safety, or kind of be a swing guy on however Coach Riley and the defensive with Diaco want to use him.
Well, I haven't talked to you in a while. What do you think of this 3-4?
I love it. I love the sophistication of it. I love the disguises that you can bring against different offenses, the type of blitzes and the exotic formations and blitzes that you can apply pressure against the offenses. I played in a few 3-4 defenses, and they've been fun because now you have four guys standing up. You can mess with the count of the offensive lining of moving guys around in disguise. And that type of defense with Diaco and what he's doing, it should be fun to play in.
Let's go back to recruiting for a second in California. Ralph, what's it like right now for Nebraska's rep and name? I mean, it's helped that Riley's Nebraska's head coach because of his California ties. It helps that Dante Williams is now on staff because of his California ties. Same with Keith Williams. But overall, what do you think kept Nebraska from getting more California kids?
Well, it's just tough. Well, you got to look at right now what USC did this season, UCLA and the Pac-12. They had a pretty strong season. And now Nebraska with Riley, he knows a lot of people in Southern California, but the Pac-12, they held strong. And with USC's resurgence towards the middle and the end of the season, how they finished, that helped them with a lot of the recruiting. It kept the Pac-12 strong with guys going to UCLA as well. And I think that's just where they kind of lost the battle because the Pac-12 has held strong. I truly believe if USC would have had a downfall this year, which it looked like at the beginning of the season, Nebraska possibly and some other schools would have been able to nab some of these guys from Southern California. But instead, Coach Helton turned the tables, and some of these other universities like Nebraska and other schools just missed out on some talent in California.
UCLA had a really bad year, but Mora puts a ton of dudes into the league. I mean, he puts you into the league in the first round, defensively specifically. So I kind of get that. How about Oregon? They're weird, man. They went 4-8 this year, but Taggart's rolling in there from South Florida, and he brought a really good – he's put together a really good staff there. Oregon is the one team that can go 4-8 and not have any collateral damage. Do you agree?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And but, you know, they're still riding off that train of Chip Kelly,
Mariota, and yeah,
you know, and Mariota and all those guys, and that name and the Nike and the uniforms and things of that nature. I think moving forward, it's going to be tough for Oregon to kind of hang on. But they've always been an up and down type of university, playing in the, you know, they've been in the Rose Bowl in the past, going back to the '90s. So that's just how the university is. But I just think with USC and Stanford and all these other schools kind of strong, that it's tough for Stanford now moving forward.
Well,
I mean Oregon.
Sure. Ralph Brown with us. A few more minutes. Hail Varsity Radio at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter. Ralph, okay. That first Super Bowl, you, a giant against Baltimore. What do you remember about it?
I just remember on the sidelines when I had an opportunity to watch Ray Lewis and that defense going sideline to sideline, just dominating the trenches, the secondary with Woodson and Chris McAllister and the upfront guys with Adams and Saragusa. I mean, I've never seen anything to this date that dominant and guys that were so detailed and efficient with what they did with their technique and just consuming an opposing offense.
So they were for real, and it wasn't a good day for the Giants that day. Fast forward now, 9 years ago, you're playing Pittsburgh, a great Super Bowl, a tough Super Bowl. Were you one of the guys that the young guys leaned on in that Arizona-Pittsburgh Super Bowl?
Yes, they did. And, you know, I coached up a lot of the guys throughout the season. And then going into that game, before the game, I was like, hey, look, I forgot who we beat. I think it was Green Bay. And I was like, if we win this game and Philly wins, we get to play at home in the NFC Championship game. Once we won that game, I said, watch how it feels when we're going to be playing in the Super Bowl. We did that. And that preparation, a lot of the veterans, we have to basically teach the younger guys on how to prepare, not try to go out and party too much, make sure you have balance, and then the nerves start growing closer and closer once you get into the game. But it's an exciting feeling. It's an exciting time, and you have to make sure you cherish it because most people only get one opportunity.
Well, you got two. I mean, how do you feel about it? I mean, you just explained to me as a team leader how you handled it, but as you reflect back on your career and the fact that you got the two, I mean, how do you react to that?
Well, the funny thing is that I had been winning championships since I was 10 years old, so I didn't know anything different. You know, from Pop Warner, I ran three out of four championships. In high school, I won a championship. I was on a team that was on a nationally ranked team, you know, throughout the entire season in high school. And then you get to Nebraska. So once I got to the NFL, playing in championship games and going to the Super Bowl twice, I didn't know anything different. And I thought that was just how it was supposed to be for players that played in the NFL.
Well done, right? I've won titles everywhere I've been, so what the hell? Let's go play in the Super Bowl twice, right?
yeah. And, you know, sadly that I played in Tampa Bay twice. So the second time we went back to the Super Bowl, I was so angry. Because I wanted to get a different experience playing somewhere else. And you look at it, we lost twice. Both times I was in the Super Bowl in Tampa, so I think I might be cursed, you know, or have some bad omen in Tampa because we lost both games.
Well, one was last second play, and we talked last year about that play, and if folks are wondering, that was not Ralph's guy in the end zone. That wasn't you and Plaxico. You were helping a dude out, weren't you, in coverage?
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. It was second down, and I was playing in the nickel spot position, and what I did was I sloughed off back into the back of the end zone, and Mueldy Moore swung out to the flat. That was my guy, but I knew if Roethlisberger dumped the ball down, we could corral and tackle Mueldy Moore before he got into the end zone. I didn't know there was as much real estate behind me still. I thought a couple of my guys were still covering Santonio Holmes when Roethlisberger threw that ball. I mean, he threw a perfect ball, placed it perfectly. When I jumped, I just basically slowly watched the ball kind of go over my hands and see Santonio make a tremendous catch, toe drag, and score a touchdown.
Did you touch the ball?
No, I didn't. I wish I would have touched it. Maybe it would have basically taken an upward trajectory over Santonio's hands if that was the case.
Ralph, let's talk a little bit about, not only the Super Bowl, but this Super Bowl. You're a corner. Julio's 6'3", 240, in 4'4". How does New England's been great? Okay, they stop everybody that's your best. Can they stop Julio?
I really don't know if they can. And the reason why I'm saying that is just because of Kyle Shanahan. A lot of people talk about Belichick having 2 weeks. I'm talking about Kyle Shanahan having 2 weeks with this offense and the group of guys he has. But you look at the size that Julio Jones is, 6'4". Big stature, can run, can body you up, and I don't think that the Patriots are going to be able to stop him. They can hope to contain him, but on the other hand, you know, they may use him as a decoy at times because they have a lot of other players that are capable to make big plays.
Well, what happens Sunday? I mean, give me a court case here on why New England wins. Give me a case as to why Atlanta wins.
Well, I think Atlanta wins because they have the better offense. I think Atlanta took the route to go up against all the top offenses, getting into the playoffs and getting into the Super Bowl. They had to go against the Saints. They had to go against the Chargers. They had to go up against the Raiders. All these teams were top offenses. They split with the Seahawks. They beat the Packers twice. And I just think this Atlanta team, on how they're built with that offense and their fast defense, I think they're going to win the game. I'm not sure if the Patriots are as good as people think just because they played all the worst offenses basically in the NFL, and when they played a good quarterback and a balanced team, they lost to the Seahawks. So for me, I don't think the Patriots have the number one defense in the NFL. I really think the Seahawks, Kansas City Chiefs, Minnesota Vikings, Giants have a better defense than they do. And I think the Patriots just took more of an easy route to get to the Super Bowl, and I think, honestly, the Falcons will expose them on Sunday.
What about nerves? Is that one of the reasons why maybe New England can win? This is the first rodeo for Atlanta.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's probably one of the big reasons why they can't win the game with Belichick and Brady. They've all been there before. That's their mindset, to get to the Super Bowl and win Super Bowls. And it's only one game. So all the Patriots players need to do is just do their job for one game. Don't make mistakes. They've been there before. They have a lot of experience. You have arguably the greatest quarterback on your side, you know, under center for basically four quarters. So it's going to be tough. I just think that the Atlanta Falcons across the board are more talented on both sides of the ball, and they should win the game. But, you know, you can't bet against Belichick and Brady.
It's Ralph Brown, 10-year NFL vet, Husker All-Century, and Husker Football Hall of Famer, at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter. Ralph, about 2 minutes here. Should we do our annual steak and beer bet?
Sure. We can go, look, we can go double or nothing this time, because you still owe me.
I owe you like eight steaks.
Yeah, I know. It's all right.
All right, double or, yeah, let's just let it ride, Ralph. I like your thinking here. Steak and a beer bet when you're back for a Nebraska game.
I'll be back in a spring game.
Okay, done. Maybe we'll get a flood like last time. I'll just leave that one alone. Okay, let's talk here. Are you taking Atlanta? I mean, I know you've laid out both points here, so I will let you pick who you want.
I'm taking Atlanta. I just think they have okay. too much offense for the Patriots. I think their defense can do just enough, and I don't think that the Patriots are as good as people think they are. And they haven't faced one top 10 quarterback with a top 10 QBR the entire season. The Atlanta Falcons have, and they've stood the test of time throughout the season, so I got to pick Atlanta.
Okay, that's an amazing point. They did take on the AFC West and did well against it. That's the best division in football. I get you. I will be happy to take New England, and even happier. Do you want 3 or 3.5?
Here's the thing. I believe Atlanta's going to win by 6.
So you're going to give me New England in 7, huh?
No, I'm not going to do that. But I'm just telling you what I believe. Okay. I'm not going to give you what I believe.
Okay, that's
we'll go 3.
3, okay. So do I get the 3 or do you want the 3? Because Vegas says New England's favored by 3.
No, I'm going to give you the 3.
Wow. Ooh. All right. Last question. This is way the hell off the wall, but you and I both love this movie, Coming to America. How many times have you seen it?
Oh, I've seen that movie a million times. I love that movie.
Better scene, barbershop or in the face?
Oh, in the face.
That's so funny. That's so good. Ralph, enjoy your weather out in California. Keep sending the Nebraska defensive backs east, okay, from California. And recruiting wise, and we'll catch up again. And this steak is going to taste amazing.
Either way, we'll both be eating steak, hopefully at the spring game.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Ralph, you take care, brother. Good to talk. Appreciate you.
All right, you too. Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend.
You too, man. There's Ralph Brown at Ralph D. Brown. I got New England, and I got 3. This could wipe away 10 years of steak and beer bets with Ralph Brown every Super Bowl. And you know what's even worse? What kind of scumbag I am? Last time he was back for the spring game, I made him pay up. Yes. So I think I'm 0-for-3 on steak and beer bets with Ralph Brown. But the one time I did win, I made him do it. Sauter Heyman is incredible. Sauter Heyman will rescue you for Valentine's Day. Sauter Heyman can take care of you when it comes to a 1-carat diamond. Go see Rick, $100 a month. That's it. Don't shortchange your sweetheart. Limited time offer with approved credit. 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion, or out west in Grand Island. See Rick and your friends today. It's Sauter Heyman. SauterHeyman.com.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's get caught up with Hail Varsity's Brandon Vogel and Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. That Twitter picture you see is the old Highway 2 sign. Vogel, you're on the road on a Friday. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. How are you, Chris?
Doing okay. Recruiting week, man. Signing day. drama, excitement, exhaustion, and we don't even recruit, man. It was busy, awesome work by Hail Varsity. Excited about it. Let's start there. What did you think of 2017's haul?
Oh, I think it was clearly another step forward for Nebraska. You know, I thought it was telling that Mike Riley and his, you don't see coaches acknowledge recruiting rankings a whole lot. It's so much easier to say, you know, we got the guys we wanted to get and just kind of move on. But Riley acknowledged that there's still another step forward to make. And I think that's a big one for Nebraska. You know, this class ended up right around 20, depending on where you look. And that's a step above. I think, you know, to really move this thing forward at a quick pace, you kind of want to be in that top 15 range. And that's been a place that's tough for Nebraska to hit. But I think the overall takeaway from, you know, Riley's 2.5 classes, I guess, that he's had so far is that's kind of the direction they're moving. So I think they came out of it with a lot of optimism.
I thought he was really happy with kind of hitting those needs. Just listening to his battling the cold press conference, I thought he was frustrated. I thought he was frustrated they didn't close bigger. Am I wrong?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. And I mean, if you look at it, you know, if you just land Joseph Lewis, which wasn't a surprise to see him end up at USC, or Greg Johnson, you get both of those guys, you are a top 15 class. So, you know, maybe we don't know what they were hearing as far as those decisions were going. Maybe they were more of a surprise to them than they were to us watching at home. But, you know, again, I think my overall takeaway when I took a step back and looked at it was like, okay, you're right there. You know, you had, again, varies a little bit, but anywhere from 6 to 8 four-star players. How do you make that 10 or 12 next year? It seems like they're already thinking along those lines.
No, they want to upgrade. And what do you think the expectation is? What's a fair expectation for, let's just blow it out of the water, for 18 then? I mean, do you think you finish top 10? Is that a reasonable goal for Riley and Eichhorst to set and hit?
You can set it. I mean, I think if Nebraska ends up in the top 10 in recruiting, that's unquestionably a grand slam. Top 15, 3-run homer. So, you know, I think that 15 mark is realistic for Nebraska, given, you know, some of the locations and the amount they have to recruit nationally. All these things we always talk about, but we always talk about them because they're real. It's harder than it is in Texas or Florida or even California for that matter. So that seems reasonable to me. And again, you know, you're only looking like maybe 2 or 3 decisions go a different way in this class, and they're already there.
They are putting a lot of resources into it. Brandon Vogel with his HailVarsity.com and magazine. Vogues, with Coach Riley, he spent some time on the 500-mile radius, and maybe coaches looking at regions. That's something that they're already discussing. Sounds like there's a ton of talent in, well, frankly, in Missouri this upcoming cycle.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it might be time to strike Missouri now, too. And, you know, Nebraska's had some success there in the past. Success goes back a long ways. But with Missouri's current program, you know, trying to build in year 2 under a new head coach, they seem to be finding their footing still a little bit. So if Nebraska can come in there with a staff that's now in their 4th recruiting cycle, has some of those connections, it's right there for the taking. Again, I feel like they're getting closer. I think the staff feels like they're getting closer, even though they're the ones who have the best idea of exactly how hard this is.
Well, let's talk health. Love your hot reads, health of the Nebraska program. Tell me about the research you did and your thoughts here as we try and answer that question. How healthy is Nebraska? Full bill of health, yes, but is it a guy nearing 40 that needs to get to the gym, or is it 22-year-old with an amazing metabolism?
Maybe closer to the latter right now. You know, I didn't have to do a whole lot of heavy lifting. There's thankfully smarter people than me who come up with these sort of program rankings. They're basically like 5-year looks at where teams are. And Nebraska right now, after 2016, ranked 48th in the one that I paid more attention to. They were about 38th in another one. 48th because it's basically where Nebraska was at after year one under Bo Pelini. So you think about that whole arc from 2008 to 2016, and it kind of meshes with how I look at this 2017 season. Not that it's a restart from all the work that this staff has done to this point, but you look at the offense changing, and the defense is going to be a total change. It feels like almost a midterm rebirth of sorts for Nebraska, and I think that has the potential to be a good thing. Not because they needed it, because things were so bad, but it's obviously not at the level that anyone involved, fan, player, or coach, wants it to be.
Well, they're tweaking things, and rebirth isn't a bad thing. You're just kind of adjusting. You're trying to get better, and they could do so with this 3-4 scheme, and of course more of a pro style passing attack with a pass first type quarterback. A few more minutes, Brandon Vogel with his HailVarsity.com and magazine. Folks, let's spend a minute or two here on the upcoming Hail Varsity recruiting issue. The magazine will be out next week. Give me a little tease, por favor.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll break down the entire class. Got a number of players in there. Some of the guys you'll probably expect and hope to see. Jalen Bradley, an in-state guy. Javon McQuitty, I'm really excited for people to see that story by Jacob Padilla. He did a great job with that. And then Tristan and Keyshawn, who were sort of two of the, well, Mike Riley called them magnets on Wednesday, and I think that's about as good a word as any. So those are a few of the highlights.
I like that. I can't wait to get a copy of it. Two players that you're pretty excited about for Nebraska fans in this class.
Yeah, it's tough to limit yourself just to two. Avery Roberts is definitely in the group for my second guy. I kind of go back and forth between Elijah Blades and Tyjon Lindsey. And then even then, I feel bad about leaving out McQuitty. So there's four. If I had to pick two, I'd probably go Roberts and Blades.
Okay. Blades is extremely talented. There's speed. There is size. Is he a guy you see cracking the two deep next year?
Talent-wise, yes. But, I mean, when you stop and think about what this defense is, spring is going to be like, it's going to be fascinating because, you know, you've got Lamar Jackson, you've got both Kalu and Jones back, and then it's easy to forget this on signing day, but Tony Butler almost played. DiCaprio Boodle is reportedly one of the fastest guys on the team. Markell Dismuke, four-star guy from out of California last year. The position battles, you know, you can go to linebacker. Quayshon Alexander was a guy a lot of people had as the best player in the class last year. All those guys are becoming available. And you almost start from scratch when you make that switch. I mean, at least I think Yako's going to handle it that way.
Those are some names you just rattled off. A lot of talent and speed in that secondary. And they'll get coached up by Coach Williams. You mentioned Avery, and he's a guy that a lot of folks feel could play a giant role. Offensively, you're going to need a couple wideouts. Who are your prime candidates to step in?
I think Tyjon Lindsey plays for sure, and I think McQuitty probably plays too. You know, even Keyshawn I think has a great shot to play, just because the numbers there, they probably end up one or two short of what they wanted to be at, and that was just kind of to be safe. So you think about three; those are three guys that could come in and play right away, and there's probably enough snaps and enough balls there for them to come in and play right away and not feel like, you know, it was kind of a wasted year.
Right. Defensive line, how about Perella? Just last thought on recruiting before we talk Super Bowl and Chili. tell me, I thought Perella was magnificent with just the ability to profile and then go target and then get the signature. That was big time. Yeah. I didn't really doubt him. I just kind of blind faith-wise, is, all right, this is a Nebraska dude who gets it, who's no BS. He'll be fine. But he was. Did that surprise you?
No, not totally. I tend to think of him as sort of a technician, and that boosts the offensive or the defensive lineman that he picks in my mind, because you just know he's kind of looking at the game from a way that allowed him to play so long in the NFL. And you saw it with some of the guys that Nebraska didn't end up landing in this class that kind of got noticed by Perella and then blew up elsewhere. I think this group of defensive linemen that's in this particular class, while it looks good right now as, you know, pretty much all high three stars, I think it's going to look even better 3 years from now.
Yeah, they're going to be animals big time. Vogues, Atlanta, New England, you'll have your pick next segment for the forecast, but are you going to get that famous Brandon L. Vogel chili on the stove Sunday?
I honestly haven't decided yet. I kind of go back and forth. I do enjoy making beer cheese soup as well.
Nice.
So it's kind of, do you go chili, do you go beer cheese soup, maybe throw some wings on, you know. It's kind of a disgusting day, but it's the right day to kind of go all out. So that might be a game time decision, or at least a when I go to the store Saturday evening decision.
You're going to Ed Morrow me right now. Okay. You're going game time decision. Give me an argument for beer cheese then in 60 seconds over chili.
Less common. If you're having some people over, you know, they show up, you got great chili. They're like, oh, I'm happy you made me your great chili. They show up to your house. You have beer cheese soup. They're like, oh, I haven't had this ever outside of a restaurant, or I haven't had this in 2 years. Just a little bit more novel.
Look at you leaving that impression. I like it. Are you nervous about, I'm going to call them your Falcons, because you've been to an Atlanta game in the last 2 years.
I'm not nervous about my Falcons. I lived in Boston for
significantly
longer. So
I was gonna go back and say, how about your Patriots?
So I kind of associate a little bit more with them, but I do think it'll be a great game. I'm kind of interested to see how it plays out. There's a lot of interesting stuff there on the sort of X's and O's standpoint.
Well, hang out. We'll come back. The forecast is next. Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, we'll talk to you in a couple minutes.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Friday forecast time. Hail Varsity Radio. Vogues was just on with us, and he was trying to decide between beer cheese and chili for Sunday. TJ Henning is ready to clean up financially with this Super Bowl. And we welcome in Klausburn. Now, Friday forecast presented to you by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling, and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, be sure to call the statewide helpline, 800-522-4700. Klausburn, how are you? Happy Super Bowl weekend.
Well, I'm doing okay. I'm really excited for another chance to have Bill Belichick on my television. It's always a thrill and a joy this time of year, a tradition unlike any other. So I'm a pretty happy fella.
Vogues, you have the Atlanta hat on. Do you have the New England Patriots sweatshirt also on right now? Have you made the change?
Yeah, I might be able to do both. I'll be happy either way, I guess, which is always the worst position to be in, actually.
All right. TJ, I haven't gotten your pulse yet. Do you hate New England? Are you in that group?
Oh, yeah. I don't care for New England.
Oh, yeah, I hate him. Yeah. I don't dislike him. Before we get into Super Bowl talk, do we have a feel Iowa-Nebraska basketball? That'll tip off at 1 Sunday. Nebraska is... they're bleeding, and they can't move their arm to tap out. They're so out of gas. Iowa by 15, 75-60. Sorry.
Ooh. Iowa's played really well without Peter Jok. It sounds like he's coming back. That might throw off chemistry a little bit.
Husker, look at you now.
Huskers on the road, 69-66.
You're insane. Vogues?
Yeah, I can't quite get there, so I guess I'll split the difference with you guys. I'll take Iowa 74-70.
Okay. Klausburn, what do you think?
Well, I've been a pretty busy guy, so I've had to DVR a lot of the Nebraska games, but they keep cutting off after about 39 minutes and 55 seconds of play. So as far as I know, they're a very good team. I'll take the Huskers in this one just because I bleed red by a score of 65-60.
There we go. All right, let's talk Super Bowl. Some prop bets. Number of times Gronk will be uttered on the broadcast. Gronk or Gronkowski, that doesn't include halftime. That's within the ball game. The over-under is 3. TJ.
I like the under. I think that Gronk talk should be all of pregame talk, so I'm going with the under Gronk 3 times.
Okay. Vogues?
Yeah, I'll go under as well. I think you might get one mention of, how much New England likes to use their tight end, and then one shot of him in the press box getting lit with Robert Kraft.
That was good. I'm going to go over. I think New England will have ample opportunity to go fade route in the end zone, and Joe, each time they either complete it or incomplete it, will reference needing or not needing Gronk. So I'm going to go over the 3. Klausburn.
Well, Gronk sounds like something a Canadian goose would say, and since he's not playing and Don Cherry isn't calling the game, I'm going to take the under. And to Brandon's point, there are several establishments for a certain type of gentleman in Houston, so if Gronk even makes it to Reliance Stadium, I'll be amazed.
Nah, that's a great point. Houston, we have a problem. That is another prop bet. Will it be uttered, yes or no? TJ.
It will not be. Even Joe Buck knows that's way too cliche, and all everybody would be on him, so I'm going to say that will not be uttered.
I agree. No for me. Vogues?
Yep, I'm in the no camp as well.
Klausburn, yes or no on Houston, we have a problem.
Well, if Jim Nance were calling the game, I think it'd be the biggest slam dunk ever. That guy never met a pun he didn't like, but I think Joe Buck will probably be too busy slobbering over the first scrappy white receiver to record a reception. And I think Troy Aikman is probably unaware that the Apollo program isn't a type of body spray. So I will also say no.
Oh, wow. All right. Lady Gaga. Color of her hair. You can bet on this. Blonde or something else? TJ.
Yeah, not a big Gaga fan, but I'm thinking something else, like blonde, purple, pink, something like that.
Well, blonde is one of the choices.
Oh, I meant blue or purple or pink. Excuse me. So got my B words confused.
You're going other.
Yes.
We'll leave it at that when you go B words. Okay. Vogues, what do you think?
I never understand these. So is Lady Gaga's inner circle just making hundreds of thousands of dollars on this? Because obviously they already know. Mm-hmm. For me, I feel like it's a slam dunk. It is something else.
Okay. She's going to go blonde. Everyone's expecting her to go something else. She'll be blonde. When she goes with that blonde look, she is, well, fairly attractive. Klausburn.
Well, I'm also going to say it'll be something else because I have it on good authority that she'll be wearing a wig made out of thinly sliced brisket and J.J. Watt's hamstring. So,
oh, my Lord.
That's not going to be blonde in color.
That's awful. Another number of times Deflategate is mentioned, over and under 1.5 votes.
Under. The NFL's not going to go for that. It may be under 1.
Okay. Okay. So you're staying home on that one. TJ.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same. Under as well.
Okay. If it's 1.5, I'm going to be safe here and say under as well. Klausburn?
Well, I think it'll be brought up several times because people love nothing more than a phony redemption story. But I just want to point out that whatever you want to say about Roger Goodell, he's the type of person he's not willing to give out a punishment that he himself wouldn't be able to handle. You know, Tom Brady was accused of deflating footballs, and so he missed 4 Patriots games. And Roger Goodell, to his credit, missed a whole season's worth of Patriots games after his balls deflated. So I think Roger's proven his toughness, and I think he'll allow the broadcasters to talk about it.
All right. Let's go with Matty Ice, passing yards over under 325. Klausburn.
Well, I'll admit I haven't watched a whole lot of Falcons games this year, so I'm no expert on their offense. But I do know from all of the times that I've had to come drag you out of the rail yard, Christopher, that Matty Ice passes very often and in copious amounts. So I imagine Matty will do the same thing, and I'll take the over.
Vogues?
This is a good one. It's tough to make a call. I'll take the over. I think they'll just get there. It's going to take a lot of passes, which Atlanta is more than happy to do. So I'll take the over.
I'm going over as well.
Too many weapons.
Okay, 60 seconds. -3 New England. Who gets it done, Vogues?
I'll take the Patriots. Young back seven for Atlanta. Not what you want against Tom Brady. I think they'll outscore him 31-27.
I like New England. Too much experience. 28-24, Pats. TJ.
I think Atlanta puts a scare into New England early, but then the Pats respond 31-24, New England.
Okay, Klausburn, what happens?
Well, as you guys know, the country is relatively divided right now, more so than it's been since probably the 1860s. But I think there's two things that we can all agree upon. And that is, number one, is that chili should always be served with cinnamon rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, we're all rooting for whatever team can kick Tom Brady in his perfect little chin dimple. So I'm going to take the Patriots in this one. They come back late. 31-28.
There you go. Klausburn, be good.
Okay.
All right. TJ Henning here in the ESPN 1480 studios. Chris Schmidt is off to call some high school basketball. All the work we put in recording some interviews. Here is a shortened version with an interview that hasn't aired yet with commit DeAndre Thomas.
Tell me about this process for you. I look at the names that were after you. And Arizona State, Arkansas, Colorado, Nebraska is where you wanted to go. Why did Nebraska shine above the rest?
Well, the process is stressful, but I've been loyal and solid to Nebraska ever since. And they stood out because of Coach John Perella, defensive line coach. You know, right when we met, we first just had a connection right away. And ever since then, I mean, I've been solid and loyal.
Tell me about Coach Perella, that first time you met him.
First time I met him, he called me. He all fired up, tell me about my play, tell me what he liked, and just kind of tell me about himself a little bit, too. Just been fired up.
Coach Perella, that sounds like him to a T. Just his energy and how how excitable he is. With your play right now, talk to me a little bit about what stands out about you. Brag a bit about yourself with what you do well. How does it translate to the Big Ten?
Well, my explosiveness. I'm super strong, and I can shed blocks and read a block, and my knowledge of the game, that puts me ahead of a lot of other players. Me just knowing the knowledge and just knowing the game.
DeAndre Thomas, few minutes with us. Hail Varsity Radio, signing day 2017 special. Standout defensive tackle out of Mustang, Oklahoma. So are you a pretty big film nut? I mean, do you spend a lot of time critiquing in the film room with your current coaches?
Yes, you have to. You have to. You got to study your opponent. I mean, you got to know his goods and his bads. I mean, you got to study your opponent.
How about toughness? And tell me, what makes you different, in your opinion, toughness-wise? It's a demanding position to play on the interior as a defensive tackle. What gave you your toughness?
I don't really know what gave me my toughness, but I mean, I've always been playing in the trenches all my life, so I mean, it's kind of there.
Is it a spot you've always wanted to play? I mean, you're 6'2", 260. Have you played anywhere else in football, or has it always been on the line?
It's always been on the line. A little bit of backfield stuff, but, I mean, that's a little special occasion.
Yeah, I bet. So do they run you in for goal line situations from time to time?
Yes, the goal line is called tractor. I come in a wildcat package. I'm a quarterback, and I get the ball and pick a hole, go score.
So is that something that's coming to Lincoln with you?
Hopefully.
I like that. Well, you touched on Coach John Perella and his passion and how he was able to connect with you. You've mentioned loyalty quite a bit. And one thing that you are is you're loyal to your family. And it seemed like Coach Perella got a pretty solid green light from Mom, correct?
Yes.
What was it about Coach Perella with your mother that made it an easy choice to stay with Nebraska?
I mean, he's a family man, and I believe my mom really likes him because I like him. Mm-hmm. She kind of just backs me up on everything.
Well, excited to have you in Nebraska. DeAndre Thomas, D-Train, part of the 2017 class from Mustang, Oklahoma, defensive tackle here on signing day 2017 with Hail Varsity Radio. DeAndre, best of luck to you. Thanks for a few minutes today, bud.
Appreciate it.